Chapter 6. "Ready for this?" Kiss asked.
"Yes, I am quite ready," Ravenna replied. His voice still sounded odd, anguished almost. There had been no time to repair his chair's damaged voxponder. The hatch opened. Ravenna slid forward into the bare cell, flanked by Kiss and Carl Phonius. Fever Sko shivered and looked up at the trio. He had been stripped naked and chained to the wall.
"You," he murmured.
They could smell his fear. He had been expecting this.
"We are going to have a conversation," Ravenna said. "How pleasant it becomes is up to you."
Sko shrugged.
"I've got nothing left," he said. "Ask what you want, Inquisitor."
"Where do the Flects come from?"
"The Mergent Worlds," he said simply.
"The Mergent Worlds are out of bounds, forbidden, interdicted by the fleet," Kiss said. "How can that be?"
Sko looked at her.
"Rogue traders go many places that are forbidden," he said. "The very best we can get, wherever they want. If the return is good enough."
"The best?" Thonius asked.
"Like your friend Thekla, you mean?"
"Thekla.
And the others?"
"A consortium," Ravenna said. Sko shrugged again.
"Thekla? And Akunin?"
He nodded.
"Akunin, Weigold, Maribos, Foucault, Strikesen, Braden. Those are the ones I know."
"What is Contract 13? Thonius asked. Sko blinked, amazed.
"I heard you and Mamsel Madsen talking," Thonius explained.
"And it was in Dubow's mind," Ravenna added.
"That freaking idiot. All right, it's the reason the Flecht thing began in the first place. Contract 13 is an off-books arrangement between the Rogue Consortium and the Ministry of Subsector Trade. The terms of the contract are simple. The traders go to the Mergent Worlds and recover tech salvage."
"What do you mean by tech salvage?" Kiss said.
"Whatever they can find. Spiker Maximal is the target of choice. Hive cities, population centers, whatever, all just resurfaced from the warp storm. They're loaded with stuff. Hive towers of the Administratum, full of codifiers, cogitation banks, out-use terminals. That's what the Ministry wants. The Consortium holds it back, holds filled to bursting, and delivers it to Petropolis. In return, the Ministry pays pretty well, and also supplies the Consortium with times, dates, and codes to help them get around the fleet interdiction blockade."
"Why does the Ministry want the tech?" Thonius asked. Sko shook his head.
"I don't know."
He winced as Ravenna squeezed his mind with a side tweak.
"Really, I don't. I'm just a game agent. I ride with Thekla."
"Make that rode with Thekla," Kiss smiled.
"Whatever. I relied on him for a lift out to the Ripwelds. More often than not, he was going that way because he was on a contract run. I got to see what he did. I was there. But I don't know why. Tech stuff is valuable, right? Isn't that why?"
"Perhaps," Ravenna said.
"What about the Flects?" Kiss said.
"They were there. Everywhere. I mean, on a place like Spiker Maximal, they were all over the ground, far as the eye could see. When we found out what they did, we brought them back with us. The Ministry paid good for the contract cargoes, but it got that the trader in the Consortium could double, triple his earnings running Flects on the side. That's where I got into it. The side action."
Sko looked down, as if he was ashamed. That seemed unlikely. Just caught. "The Ministry didn't object to the Flecht trade?" Thonius asked.
"At first. But they tolerated it. Everyone was happy."
"Until my team opened it up, through Dubow and yourself," Ravenna said. Sko nodded.
"Yeah. That's why we got into this. You had to be silenced."
"Because my interest in the Flecht trade had put me close to something much bigger?"
"Yes.
and the parties involved couldn't very well move against an Inquisitor on a world like Eustace Majoris, not without blowing everything. So they decide to lure me out to Lucky Space, dropping hints and clues to keep me interested. And out here, I could be disposed of, and no one would know better.
That was the plan, said Sko.
Madsen's plan? Kiss asked.
Madsen's plan, Sko agreed. But Kinski made it work by thinking ahead of you. To Bo, Siskind, whatever it took. Planting clues, shielding other memories, drawing you on.
A sudden chill wrapped the cell. Frost crackled up the metal walls.
One last thing, said Ravenna.
Oh,
gasped Sko.
Shit, please!
I slammed into his unhappy mind, turned away his surface thoughts, and buried my mind in his memories. From the first scent of the synapses, I knew everything he had told us had been the truth. But I went back, further. Spiker Maximal, Mergent World, lately resurfaced, dead from the horrors of the warp storm, like lost ships dredged up, dripping and rotten, from an ocean depth. I was Fever Sko, crunching down a blasted slope with others of Fekla's landing party. Before me, a vast wasteland of jet cinders and blackened material, twisted, bulbous, shattered, crusted. The sky was domed and full of rushing, splintered cloud. A sun, red as a bloodshot eye, was rising in the firmament. There were buildings ahead of me, towers and spires and cyclopean citadels, all ruined, all made of solidified night, a burned city, a murdered hive. I walked down the vast towers and saw their countless windows, row upon row, tier upon tier, deadlights like eye sockets, giving back no reflection, stained by unimaginable ages spent in consuming darkness. The crazed black soil under my feet was covered in a myriad shards of broken glass. Imperfectly, like a deranged mosaic, they reflected back Sko's image. For a moment, I shivered. I was back in Bergosian's dream, the dream that had nearly dragged me to my doom in the dead lofts of Petropolis. But this was no dream. It was Sko's memory of Spiker Maximal. Bergosian, poor, lunatic Bergosian, had seen it in his visions. The visions of the Flects. They were under my feet, the endless shattered pieces of glass blown out from the numberless windows of the great hive, each one charged with power from the long ages they had lingered, submerged in the warp. Each shard was loaded with a reflection of something. And some things were too terrible to look upon. This was what Sko and the other freebooters had collected and dealt. Broken glass from the ruins of a warp-engulfed hive. I withdrew from his memory. Sko slumped back, gasping. That is all, I told him.
I have one question. About my brother. Who killed him?
He was shot by my warrior Zeph Mathewin during combat, I said. But Mathewin serves me, so the actual answer to your question is, I did.
What happens now? Asked Harlan Nail. No one answered immediately. Nail stood on the Hinterlights bridge. Aided by her servitors and her freed crew, the shipmistress was trying to repair some life into the wounded ship. She was crying. The damage was immense. Hallstrom, along with Frauke, was down in the infirmary. Last Nail had heard, Zarjaran was fighting to save both of them.
Now, Ravenna replied, Harlan, this isn't about the Flects anymore. Got that much? Nail smiled. We have been presented with a strong possibility that the local Imperium authorities are trading in heretical technology. The Lord Subsector's private ministry, at least. I don't know if the corruption goes right up to the Lord Subsector himself, but the chances are high. We have a much, much bigger deal on our plate.
We're going back to Eustace Majoris, then? Kiss asked.
Yes, said Ravenna. But now we have an advantage. Our adversary thinks we're dead. Without Thekla to contradict this fact, we can return in disguise. Disguise is essential. I have no way of knowing how deep this corruption runs,
maybe into the Officio Angelus itself.
The Hinterlight isn't going to get us there,
Methuen said. That was true enough. So badly wounded, the Hinterlight would need months to limp back to a safe harbour outside Lucky Space and begin repairs. Besides, there was a real chance the priest, shaken and tearful, would refuse another mission for the Ordos.
I have an idea,
Nail began. Zael stood alone on the observation deck, gazing out at the storms of Firetide. They were fading now, the solar storm dying away. Still, the flashes outside jumped his long shadow back and forth across the deck.
We're going back, Kiss said as she joined him.
Back?
To Petropolis. That all right?
Zael nodded.
You're all right with that, she said.
It'll be good to see home again.
Zael walked away from her and exited the deck.
He's more than nascent,
Kiss said to Ravenna. The chair coasted up beside her.
Much more.
Passive like you thought?
Yes. Mirror Psyker. From what you told me, I think he's very rare. I think the flecks he's used have touched off something in his mind, empowered deep potentials. He's not active at all, but I think he might become a powerful reflective. I think I might be able to teach him to far-see, to predict, to foretell.
Yeah, I felt that too. It's like he knows what's about to happen.
Not knows so much as echoes.
The damned flecks have woken something in him, but it's something quite amazing.
I hope he thinks so, said Patience Kiss.
Carl Thonius sighed. His arm really hurt, but this would make it better.
They'd gone over and searched the October country before imprisoning its surviving crew and allowing it to tumble away into the star's gravity well, undirected and helmless, tracing the doom it had reserved for the Hinterlight. Thekla's holds had been packed with flecks, raw ones, not even yet packed in their red tissue wraps. Carl had one cupped in his hands. It felt warm. He opened his fingers and looked down. At the end of Firetide, a bulk lifter had flown into Bonner's reach. Transponder codes identified it as belonging to the October country. Hooded, cloaked, three figures left the lifter and hurried to an arranged meeting in a private booth on one of the first salon's upper galleries. A diminutive figure entered the booth as picked and sigh screens folded down around him.
"I am Sholto Unworth, and I requent your fulsome advantages," he said.
Harlan Nail pulled back his hood.
"Master Unworth, we have a business proposition for you."